a Cincinnati developer is leasing property near Clifton to a local land conservancy at a multi-million dollar discount. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to explain why and what the land will be used for are Cardinal Land Conservancy Executive Director Andy Dickerson, benefactor Kiki Sansaloni, and Civic Garden Center Executive Director Karen Colley. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Andy, tell us about this 7-acre piece of land. Where is it and what's there now?
So this piece of land is down on the corner of Marshall and McMicken Avenue. If you roll down the hill from Clifton, you end up there. It's officially in the CUF community, Clifton University Fairview, which I had to look up. but this property, it's unique in that it's Tony and his team and the Sansalonis have been working on amassing parcels down there for 30 years. And I think that was in the hopes of doing a big development, but half of the parcel is on the bottom of a steep hillside, and developing those is getting trickier and trickier. And I think maybe, you know, this all started of Tony working with us when I think that Kiki wanted to recommend some land go to the Civic Garden Center on Work Road. And I think that Karen knew enough about us to say, hey, we don't do land, ask Cardinal. And we're like, sure, that'd be great. But then Tony, he's a great guy, and once his brain's moving, it's moving. He's like, hey, I got some land down here. You should look at this. So we did, and it turns out, you know, he's in a spot in his life where he'd like to give back to the community, and we just happened to be in the right space at the right time. So we thought about getting a group of folks together on a green space that currently exists that used to be old, worn-down houses and kind of fixing it up. Having a partnership with the Cincinnati Civic Garden Center to have some raised garden beds and run their market gardener program, have them help restore a microforest on site, while we have office space and a warehouse space that we can share with others to work together on the Green Cincinnati Plan is what evolved.
Yeah. Wow. A lot to unpack there. Kiki, we should point out, Tony, that's your husband, right?
Yes.
Okay. So how long have you and your husband owned this land?
So as Andy said, it really was an accumulation of various parcels over a long period of time. So I don't know when the first piece of property was purchased, but he is, as Andy said, a visionary and a dreamer. So he was visioning and dreaming about developments, but that vision evolved, right? So that when we started having, as Andy said, a conversation with Karen at the Civic Garden Center about a piece of property that we owned on Work Road, what evolved from that, I like to say literally and figuratively, the seeds that were planted there at that time evolved to where we're at now and this conversation that we're having now.
Well, you mentioned that your husband's a dreamer. This land was pieced together over a number of years. Was there a previous plan for it? Was there kind of a dream vision for what would happen on this property?
Certainly. And one of the, I think, driving forces behind what Andy referred to, this sort of accumulation of one piece and then another, was that you can dream a lot bigger and have a much bigger vision the more that you have, right? And again, it evolved. And I think the evolution led us here, which in every single way really aligns with what our family's mission and vision was, both short-term and long-term. And that is this idea of conservation and preservation and activation. And Andy does all three of those. And Karen does that as well. So it was just, it was an evolution that I like to say got us to where we needed to be, really. Yeah.
Karen, it sounds like you were in some ways kind of a matchmaker in this situation, that Kiki came to you, mm-hmm. Kiki and her husband came to you.
Yes.
What made you think of Cardinal Land Conservancy right away? Had you done work with Andy and his group before?
We did have experience with Cardinal. Our conservation manager, Sam Settlemyer, had already been working with their staff to develop some training for program volunteers to be able to effectively do invasive species removal and then native plant or plant replacements on those on properties. So they have been working to develop this training, which is now called Green Space Guardians. So we already had a relationship with the organization, and I was familiar with what they did and thought this would just be ideal to ensure that this property forever remained green and that we could do what we do best, which is education and training and engaging volunteers.
I mentioned when we started this conversation, I think I referred to this lease as a multi-million dollar discount. I mean, that's a lot of land in the heart of the community. Kiki, do you have any idea what this land is worth?
No, I don't know. And it would be two different values, right? It would be the value if we were to sell all of it or the value if you were leasing it. I don't know. Andy might have a better idea of what that would be.
I think if you ask Tony, it's $100 million.
$100 million.
it's a little joking. But the land value itself, I mean, Kiki gets at a good point that, you know, just selling the land to a developer, it's worth tens of millions of dollars. It's hard to put a price on development land in that area because it's land is in such dire need and market value. But if you were to develop it yourself and then lease and sell it over time, it's worth twice that. So the value is significant. And although we're getting a great deal on the lease, and that is very notable.
Why a lease? Why is that the way to kind of do this?
I think the best reason is that Tony and Kiki are in their philanthropic efforts. You know, what we want to do and work with those folks that care about our missions and donate to us is work on their timeline. And sometimes when the IRS is involved and you're already at your maximum giving level, you need to wait a few years before you can give again. And that's the position we're in.
Can you talk in a little bit more detail about what the plan is for the property and how that's going to be funded?
The plan for the property is for us to, you know, again, be better together with our partners. In the office space, you know, immediately we're going to have folks like Adventure Crew coming in. Civic Garden Center is going to be able to keep some of their tools and some of their equipment on site to be able to work on the gardens. Ohio River Way might have an office there, and the same as Camp Joy. So people who are working on youth and engaging folks in the outdoors are going to be on site. Our plan for that area is to fix it up and increase biodiversity on site. So it's right next to 75. It's right next to the highway. You know, some of our people are, you should put up a giant dancing man there so everyone on 75 sees it, but we won't quite do that. But we are looking to make an impression with native plantings and restoration efforts, including, putting a little more beautification on the streets and maybe bringing some pride to that part of the community. Funding for this is going to come from private donations. We have had some success with Greater Cincinnati Foundation supporting us, with the City of Cincinnati supporting us with a leverage support grant. And we've had private investments, I'll call it. Because what we're hoping to do, I think, is while at the heart of it, it is, you know, improving the community, but also improving community health. So by restoring these green spaces and, maybe a better sense of community, we hope that we can have an effect on things that are a nagging issue in the urban environment, the cancer clusters, the breathing disorders, some of the mental health problems when you're surrounded by concrete. And just today, we met with University of Cincinnati to try to involve science in knowing whether or not we made a difference.
Will there be trees planted, that sort of thing? What kinds of things will we plant?
Yes,
on the property?
It'll be native trees. Now, I'm not a botanist, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. So we look at what forest makeup was here before white settlers were here. Understanding that this place has been inhabited by people for tens of thousands of years, and the environment has been manipulated. So we're not saying we're perfect. I think that our approach is to try to work to get those species back on the landscape that were here when it was a good time for us to be looking at diversity of birds, bugs, bunnies. And we know what that was because of a famous botanist and forester, Lucy Braun.
Karen, talk more about these raised garden beds and what role the Civic mm-hmm. Garden Center is going to play with this property.
So we hope to be involved in the forest restoration as well and engaging volunteers that we currently work with in some of our other habitat restoration sites. And then also we propagate native plants from seed, so we're hoping that some of the plants will grow specifically for use on this site. And then we also would love to see an edible forest go in. We recently installed one at our home at the Hauk Botanic Garden, and it also adds, you know, a lot to a site when people can come in and forage and actually find, you know, fresh food. What we want to do on the gardening side of it is install, we hope to, in 2 acres of the 4 acres or so that is suitable for development, to use 2 acres to subdivide into either quarter or half acre plots that a market gardener can transition to in order to start to grow entrepreneurially and make some money.
When you say market gardener, can you explain a little bit more about what that is?
A market gardener is somebody that grows on a small scale, but grows in order to market what they're growing or producing for sale. So we did, we piloted a training program in 2024 with about 9 market gardeners. But the big obstacle that anybody wanting to do urban agriculture faces is access to land. Either the cost of the land is prohibitive, or if they get a lease on some property, if down the road there's a developer that can develop it, then they lose the site that they've invested all that time and energy into growing on. So that solves one of the biggest challenges or barriers to somebody, to an urban farmer, is having land. So we would like to develop it into these sites, take people in partnership with Central State University through an urban ag training program, and then have them be able to grow on these sites. And then we will assist not only with the education and training they need to be successful growers, but to address the issue around branding their business, marketing their business to local food sellers and to chefs. So really helping them, setting them up for success in urban agriculture.
You've talked about planting these native plants, these trees, figuring out what makes sense there, this edible forest. Do any of you think of this as almost like a rewilding of the area? Is it you're trying to kind of go back to the future a little bit?
No, I think it is. I imagine how exciting it is to have folks like these two beside you and in front of you on efforts like this. If just land gets in the way of the wonderful goals that Karen talks about, I tell people all the time, we do land. We're not going to grow food. We're not going to market. I mean, we'd be doing so much, it would blur our mission. But our mission is land. And if we can do that to enable that, hallelujah.
How rare is that to be able to do that kind of thing in such a kind of urban part of town? Mm-hmm. Is that unusual for you, do you think, Karen?
So, you know, we have a network of community gardens. That's about 65 gardens now. So it is possible to do it, you know, in a community garden setting. But I think there's lots of opportunity and lots of interest in growing our urban agriculture section and helping folks really do this in a way that they can be entrepreneurial and actually earn some money. We have a lot of gardeners in our existing network, especially folks who are more recent immigrants who are really still, you know how to grow and can grow some of those specialty crops that people are really curious and interested in. So we know that there are people, you know, willing and able to do this. It's just providing them with that opportunity to do it.
Andy, can you talk more about how this will benefit the community? I'm thinking of health, but you also mentioned this is a really steep hill and landslides are a big issue in this community.
Yes, I might catch flack for this, but we actually own the reference site for the Cope Formation. That's the formation that causes all the landslides. It's a preserve that we have on the Ohio River out in Brown County. There's a lot involved when you have those layers. And if there's a lot of development on top of the hill pushing down, and then we development happens at the bottom, and then you blame the people at the bottom, is that fair? What we can all agree on is that more roots holding those layers together is better. So we do hope to stabilize as much as we can and partner with our friends at Hillside Trust, too. I mean, we're friends with all the other land conservancies around. And where it makes sense for them to lead, they can lead. But restoring, beautifying, and stabilizing is in our future.
Kiki, this whole idea of preventing landslides, is there a benefit to you and your husband with any of your other developments with that? Or what does that play a role in your decision-making here?
No, I don't know that we've ever even discussed that, but I am a big supporter of the Hillside Trust, as an aside. But also, I want to go back to two things that were said earlier. One was Andy saying how excited he is to be here with Karen and myself. We're just as excited to be here at this table with Andy and his team and everything that they're doing. I mean, it's an absolute, not only pleasure, but blessing to be able to help you do your thing. And that leads me back to something Karen said about land ownership being a burden or a hurdle, an insurmountable hurdle. And I couldn't help but think about something that Rumi once said, as you were both talking, which is that the earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth. We're all here. We're passing through. We're stewards of what we have, right? So what a privilege and a blessing to be able to see that someone can steward this land in a really amazing way. And you've heard about so many of these amazing ways that both Cardinal Conservancy and the Civic Garden Center is stewarding land that they have while we're all passing through.
You know, Kiki, earlier you talked about how your husband's a dreamer, that he kind of had this vision for maybe some big development of some kind on this land. And I imagine when people are listening to this, there might be people who think, well, this sounds beautiful, but Cincinnati does need a lot more housing, needs a lot more affordable housing. How would you respond to that if there's anybody out there saying, well, heck, why didn't you build some stuff on there?
There is actually a residential housing development in that same corridor. So that would be the short answer to that. That was meant very specifically to address the needs of the University of Cincinnati, which was suffering and their students were suffering from lack of housing there. So that is being addressed there. I think that's a much bigger issue. This whole idea of affordable housing, it's another issue that I'm kind of passionate about.
And Lucy, I'll add that we're very careful not to take opportunities away from affordable housing when we're choosing where to appropriately place green space. We know there are several groups working with land and affordable housing, and we make sure not to take opportunities away from them.
Yeah,
and I would just like to add that, you know, the Civic Garden Center, we never go into a neighborhood, for example, and say, hey, you need a community garden, put a community garden here. We wait for the neighborhood to express an interest or have residents who are interested in, you know, getting their hands dirty and developing that in their neighborhood with their neighbors. And we feel the same way about this property. And we've been talking with some of the residents in the Cuff neighborhood, and they're very excited about the vision for this property and the need for more green space and healthy green space and better air quality and a place where, you know, kids can go and feel safe and play and be outside in nature. So we're excited to do something, to bring something, to work with these amazing organizations, to bring something to the neighborhood that we think actually does support this and want this.
You know, when we see green spaces around town, they can be vacant plots of land, maybe something used to stand there previously. It seems like most of the time those do get developed into something, a business or homes. Andy, what do you think the greater efforts toward land conservancy look like when it comes to embracing some of those empty plots of land and doing the kinds of things you're doing here? And what are the challenges to getting that done?
We've thought a lot about this, and we have been working with peers and partners for a few years now on trying to decide how to answer that. And I think the culmination is working with Green Umbrella and the Green Space Action Team. We've developed a model for a map of what areas should be conserved for the quality of streams and climate-connected forest and biodiversity, but also the opposite. Where are those areas that are hit hardest by no habitat value, too much pavement and heat islands, cancer clusters, breathing disorders, to put it back? The challenge comes in, and we've already began discussions and would like to continue those and make them better with the Hamilton County Land Bank and taking a look at what parcels they own and what communities they're in. And by the way, we're going to neighborhood council meetings as well with our urban staff, just saying, how do you guys think if we're doing this? And we've received great feedback from every community council. But how we can work, because they have trouble with those parcels. Sometimes they get auctioned off and they're moved and someone tries to develop them because their job is to get it back in the tax base. Mm-hmm. But those parcels are there for a reason. Not all of them can be developed. So it makes for a good partnership potential for us to work with them to take some of these and leave them green and make them green to give back to the community and have the community be proud of some protected green space they have.
Well, I've been talking with Cardinal Land Conservancy Executive Director Andy Dickerson, benefactor Kiki Sansaloni, and Civic Garden Center Executive Director Karen Colley. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thanks,
Lucy.
Thank you.
Up next, what cuts to a statewide water quality initiative could mean for wetlands, water quality, and agriculture. This is Cincinnati Edition.